the things that I always challenge myself when I do speak is I always want to be transparent. I always want to come before a group of people so they see who I really, like me, right? So what you see here on a Sunday morning, my goal is that you would see if you came into the Mission Thrift Store where I work or if you came into my home. So I like to tease my kids, so I might tease you during the sermon. But I like to be transparent because I believe that's what God calls us to be, is be real. Again, I've talked about this before, but I've grown up in the church, and I've been part of many different, and I'm sure some of you have been a part of many different movements. Some very big. I remember walking around the church with my parents, and maybe some of you aren't old enough to know this, but we used to walk around with the hankies and singing that song, "Flag Flowing High, the Banner of My Heart." Yeah, I see hands. Yeah. Okay, so some interesting times. I'm telling you, I'm not going to ask you to do that because that was weird for me when I was a kid. And but it meant something at that time. It meant something because they were saying, "This is my banner, Lord. Take my life. Take my things. Take it away from me." I believe we have a movement developing within this church. It's called New Life. We've talked about it all summer. We've talked about since July, since my wife and I have come, that there is going to be changes, that there is changes. And it's how we embrace the changes is what helps us, defines us, and grows us. This morning, I'm going to be diving into John 14. So if you have your word with you this morning, you can prepare yourself there. But I was going through this last week, and I was struggling. I tell you, I'm going to be transparent with you this morning. I was struggling. God, what do you want me to show you? Or what do you want me to speak and show me so I can speak to the people? And I got absolutely nothing for too long. And I was saying, Lord, what's going on? And then came to me this little phrase and said, what are things that I'm struggling with? So now challenge myself. Because again, I think as someone who speaks and as someone who comes in front of people, what are struggles of life that kind of hinders us from knowing Christ and knowing God? And in our lives, we have struggles. And maybe some don't. Maybe some don't have a struggle at all. But I would suggest that we all have struggles somewhere along the way. And, you know, some of the struggles might be things like just marriage, right? I think, and I pray, and I do pray for those who have loved ones who are not here this morning. And I know that's a struggle. And know that can be a hindrance. Because marriage is when you're not both together on the same page, it's hard. My wife and I aren't always on the same page. But when we meet on Tuesday mornings, sometimes it's a tough discussion about things. But we become on the same page because we have Christ in the center of it. So I know that could be a struggle. The other thing was finances. You know, some of us have decent jobs, some of us don't. Some have been laid off. I've heard about some layoffs this week at one of the places of some people that I know, and I'm like, what happened? They're just like, weren't making money, so they just said, see you later. Oh, struggles. I've been part of that at one time, so I get that. Some struggles that could be even for myself, it's personal, but is weight, you know? Seems like whatever I eat goes right here. Why is that? You know, I walk, I talk a lot, maybe. I thought talking doesn't reduce calories, but maybe not. It's friendships. Sometimes it's even a friendship. You know, you love somebody, you care for them, but maybe it's not reciprocated. Or, you know, that could be a struggle. Maybe it's just self-worth. Maybe you just don't feel valued, that I'm a value to this congregation, that I'm a value to my family, that I'm a value to anything that goes on and around me. Sometimes it's just pure loneliness. Maybe you don't have that special someone or even a best friend. Those are struggles. Those are all struggles that we go through. And so as I was preparing the message, I'm like, Lord, what? You want me to start with something really positive, right? Talk about struggles. How positive is that? But I want to challenge you that even through these struggles, God can do something if you allow him. We allow the struggles to absorb us. We allow those things to distract us. We allow those things to discourage us. But through sometimes negative, positive things happen. So let me share a story. It's kind of an interesting one for me. I was coaching ball hockey. First time that I've done this in Surrey. Chaos is all the word I can use because it was never organized. You would hear about a game time an hour before the game time. When I picked my team, I didn't realize that all the other coaches, they had their list. They knew their people, and there's games games being played with numbers, so you really, you never, they do a number between 1 and 30, 30 being great, 1 being bad, and some of those coaches would rate their team low, so you never pick them, but they're actually 30s. So I picked my team thinking, oh, I had a pretty decent team. I lost every game 11 for 0 or 0 for 11, yet I won the coach of the year. Negative to a positive. And the reason why I won it is because all my kids played. They all had fun. We laughed on the bench. We weren't rude to the refs because coaches are just brutal to referees. We didn't yell at the other team. And when one of my guys was being a poor sport, they sat. So we didn't do that. So through negatives can be positives. I wanted to share that with you this morning, not because I was a great coach, because obviously 0 for 11, I don't think I'd be hired on an NHL team very quick. But it is about the end goal. And in our relationship with Christ, it's about the end goal. So I want to challenge you this morning. One, if you don't really know Christ, that you listen a little bit to the scripture this morning, or a lot to the scripture this morning. And for those who have been serving the Lord for a long time, listen to the scripture in a different way this morning. Just real recap, just the verse above. Jesus was talking to his disciples, and Jesus finished explaining about what was in store for those. So he was talking about heaven, and it was talking about what the Father's preparing for him. And it says, you know the way to the place where I am going. So Jesus ended with a statement in verse 4. And again, I stop and I think to myself and go, man, if I was a disciple, how many have done that? Has anybody ever done that? If I was a disciple, I would be like in awe all the time. Like, I can't believe these disciples would question God. I mean, why would they question him? Because they're right with them and see all these things. And I think back and it's like, but then I say, you know what? Even though you're walking through that, there would have been so much doubt and I just, not 100%. We are so lucky to have the scriptures. We're lucky to be able to read what Jesus did from front to back, not in between. And so Thomas said to, in verse 5 here, it says, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where we're going, so how can we know the way? So they already doubted what Jesus just said, because Jesus just said, you know the way to the place where I'm going. Like, you know this. And then you come back and say, I don't know this. How many times in my life or your lives or when you're walking and talking, how many times have you said that? Lord, I don't know which way I'm supposed to go. Where am I supposed to go? What's my direction? I'm retired. I'm still working. I'm still in school. And sometimes we have, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And you don't do this, and you don't do that, because God changes it. And so Thomas here was just, Jesus said, you know, but he's like, I don't know. Which I'm like that all the time, so that's why I wanted just to paraphrase it that way. Because it's, God, where do you want me? What do I need to be doing? I need to be walking in your way. I don't want to walk in any other way. I don't. And so it's awesome when the Lord opens doors. And then Jesus said, he answered him and said this, and we've heard this scripture before, and it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So Jesus was giving him an answer. Look at what I'm doing. I'm going to give you the power to do it, and you'll know the Father. And it is really important that we get Jesus in our heart. We need to read the scriptures and see what Jesus did. Jesus healed people. He prayed for people. He healed the sick. He loved on the kids. This morning, maybe 10 years ago, that would have been a huge distraction watching Gracie. That would have, like, even cringing, I'm sorry. But I saw her and I went, what did Jesus do? Now, then I go back to the disciples. Remember when they freaked out on Jesus when the kids were around? Now, there's probably like 40 Gracies around there, right? And all the adults are going, oh, this can't be doing. But the disciples were freaking out and trying to get rid of the kids. But Jesus said, no, let them come because they're pure in heart, right? So this morning I was like, yeah. And I was loving it because she came to me too. So it's, you know how it is. But, you know, the reality is that just like Gracie loving on her grandma, that's how Jesus loves on us. And I just thought, yes. And that's how we need to be when we come to Jesus. It's let's be someone with a soft and willing heart and open heart and just be free. Take the struggles of today that's maybe on your heart. Maybe I shared some struggles that you're struggling with right now. Just release it to the Lord. Don't be like Thomas and ask those questions. Instead, listen to what Jesus said. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's okay, Jesus, I want to give this to you. I know a lot of you, because I've got to know you over the last few months, have been serving the Lord for a while. But I always come back. I'm like this Jesus heart guy. I just really need Jesus down deep down inside of me. That's how I can move forward. And even though I've been serving in the Lord, serving in all the different areas that I serve in, I always want to come back to that scripture. I am the way, the truth, life. Lord, I give you my life. So I do this unto you. Not for the pleasure or for people to say good job, Ed, and pat me on the back. I do it for the Lord. So I might ruffle feathers by sometimes with things I say because I believe it's what God is calling us to be. New life. New life Foursquare means something. It's not just the name. I like the name. And when Carol and I came, you know, you always have, I don't know if we had a real big discussion on it, but people like to change names, change things. It's like, no, I like the word new life. Because we can be such a light within this community. It could be something that is so awesome. I just want to use that word. So I just want to encourage you. This is a new life place. So again, we want to come to the Lord. So as we read down a little bit further, Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. That will be enough for us. And then Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? And I want to challenge you this morning with this statement of, you who say you're Christ-like are showing the Father. It doesn't matter male or female. It doesn't matter status, where you're at, pastor, parishioner, worship leader. It doesn't matter. We show Christ, people see the Father. I always like to tell people, because it's an out for us. We always need an out, right? Our job is to share Christ. Our job is to share the love of the Father. Go on mission trips. Be local. Help those in need. Within our community, without our community. Just be there for people. That's showing our Father in heaven how he loves his children. That's our job. But the nice thing is that Jesus will do the rest. The Lord will take over. Our job, show Christ. They'll see the Father. Through the Father, they can be made whole. That's his job. So I want to encourage you this morning. Seek after Jesus. Seek after what he did. So we've been meeting every other Wednesday, and we've been talking about different things. So this last Wednesday, we talked about healing. And we shared with one another. Carolyn did an awesome job in just kind of presenting it. And then we prayed for people. And we prayed for one another. And we're seeing people be healed. We're seeing people come to whole. It's not us. It's our Father in heaven that's doing this. But what's our job? Our job is to show Christ. What did Christ do? Christ shared with people. He healed, he prayed, he sent out the 12. Remember that those are the things he did. And so those are the things I want to encourage you this morning. It's a little bit of a different sermon because I want to encourage you this morning. Again, this week I was thinking about this and I used the word dark. I was in a dark place because it's like I couldn't see a word that was like, oh, this has to be, this is what's going to go. But the Lord said there's something exciting going to happen Sunday. You need to be ready for this. So as I was reading through the scriptures, I was like, Lord, open my eyes to so many things. And just spoke to me to say, you need to focus on me. You need to see what I did. So what did I do? I got back into reading Matthew. What did Jesus do? And there's so much scripture is so important. Knowing the Bible and how it all kind of relates together is so important. To me, the ultimate is knowing what Jesus did. The other stuff will come as I study through it. Because I would like, and I pray that people would see Christ in me. Because my desire is that all 20,000, maybe a little less, people in Cranbrook would come to see the Lord. Because that's his desire. And we're a new life. We can't be old life. I don't know if people would really come if we were called old life. Yeah. But yeah, maybe. But then you would all go south for the winter. But we are a new life. We're a church. We need to be a church of life. So when you were worshiping this morning, I sensed that new life, that there was like a fire that developed in our worship this morning. And then after that, it says, don't you believe, Jesus again said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. Hear that? It says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing. So you can pray for someone and have them healed through Christ. Do you believe that this morning? Sorry, I just lost my space there. Very truly, I tell you, believe in me. And they will do, and then it goes on and says, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it. And one of the key components in there was, you will do greater things. There's a song, greater things than these. So we, if we step out, can do greater things in our community, in this church, in our family. Contend and do not give up for praying for your spouses, for those who are praying for your spouses. Do not give up on that. God, it says right here, Jesus said, you may ask me anything in my name and I will do it. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Do not allow the disappointments, disbelief, even our own excuses or other people's excuses, struggles, to get in there to distract you from what our Heavenly Father wants to do. Jesus gave us a promise, whatever you ask for anything in my name, I will do. God provided me with a job before coming here. I mean, I was so thankful that I was off, like someone told me about it, because I was praying, Lord, I don't think I could come, because we've made a decision that Carolyn was going to be the lead pastor. But for me to sit, I just couldn't do, like I would go stir crazy. I'm sure some of you can relate. But I always wanted to be within our community, and I was praying to get out of automotive. There's a whole long story on that one. But the Lord blessed me with a job that I totally enjoy, because just the other day someone came in and said, can you just pray with me? It's like, that's what I'm here to do. So we prayed. I've got to pray for people on the floor at Mission Thrift Store. So God does hear your prayers. He does answer your prayers. But it took a long time. Because I've been praying to get out of automotive for a long time. But this is the right time. And so I'd say to you this morning that God wants you to ask, or Jesus wants you to ask, and then give it to him. Because we tend to say, well, it didn't happen right away. I've prayed for people, and things haven't happened right away. I remember, and again, I'm being transparent with you this morning because I want to encourage you. I remember praying for someone who, I forget the disease, but basically shut his whole body down to the point where he couldn't move, couldn't talk. Like, he could talk, but that's it. He had that motor function. That was it. Nothing else. And I remember praying for him on his bed and saying, God, restore him to new. And he passed away. And I was like, ugh, that would be considered a disappointment, right? But he went home to be with the Father, which is probably better than being here anyways. But I didn't let that to stop me. I continued to pray for people. I continue even now to pray for people because I believe God wants to use us as instruments here at New Life Foursquare. Not just an Ed and Carolyn show, because if it becomes like that, then I'm out. It's a New Life Foursquare. We're to pray for our community, love on our community. And I was thinking about just how, you know, it's good. We're not professional musicians and we're not professional speakers, but God is using us in a mighty way. I see it, and I see it in your faces, and I see it in our worship. It seems like our worship just keeps getting more and more alive as every Sunday goes, because people are releasing and just saying, I'm just going to worship everything that's within me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward because they do have a closing song, and I believe it will be good for us to do that. But today, if you're struggling with any personal goals, if you're struggling with acceptance, I want to encourage you this morning, as we worship, to give that to the Lord. I'm a firm believer of giving to God what his struggles are, because that's what he wants to do. He wants to take your struggles. That's what the cross was for. So that's you this morning. I'm not going to ask for raise your hands or anything like that, but I want to encourage you that as we sing this last song, that you would release to the Lord. I do believe it's always important to make some sort of physical movement to say, I release to you, Lord. So if it's raising your hands or just moving out of the seat you're in, just to say, God, I'm giving you this. Just that physical give to the Lord. The other thing before we go to that song, I just want to, something that Carolyn and I are trying to, or believe we're going to do every Sunday, we want to do every Sunday, is we always want to give opportunity for those who maybe this is your first time, or maybe you want to rededicate your life to the Lord. So This time is a time where I'm going to just ask everybody to close their eyes. I want it to be between you and the Lord. And if you want to receive Christ for the first time in your life, or maybe rededicate your heart this morning, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to have you come forward. And then I want to pray for you. So if that's you this morning, go ahead and raise your hand before we sing. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. You can go ahead and put it down. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, I pray for those two hands that came up this morning, Lord God. I pray that you would just minister to them, Lord God, as they have said, I just want to give back to you, Lord God, what you have given to me, and that I want to rededicate my life to you, Lord God, that I want to receive you into my heart. And so, Lord God, I pray for a renewing of their spirit, of their mind right now in Jesus' name. I proclaim victory over their lives right now. And God, I just pray for your angels to move in. In Jesus' name, I pray. Would you stand with me as we sing?